Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Let's go, girls. Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How are my beautiful girls doing this week?
So good.
It's 4th of July weekend, baby.
Don't have to go to work tomorrow. I actually got out of work at 1 p.m. today.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was like ready to go to the pool at like 4:15, 4:20, and I was like, I should probably stick around for another 15 minutes. And then I noticed I was the only person logged into Teams, and I was like,
at that point, it's over. It's a good bot. You're offline at that point. I would say mentally, I was not amazingly checked in today, pretty much at all.
No.
Let's start out. Let's get our pod business out of the way right up front. So we have a couple things to tell you guys. Next week is All In. As you know, we know it, you know it. We're traveling to All In. And so we almost definitely will not be releasing an episode next week. We have reserved with amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
The right to reserve. Reserve.
We've reserved the right to reserve.
Yeah. Which we all have in this country for now. We've reserved the right to record an episode if something totally insane happens and we need to talk about it. But you should probably anticipate there won't be an episode. We'll do a fun mega episode the next week. We'll tell you everything we got up to. So that's what we got.
And if anything crazy happens and we do, it'll probably come out early also. So there won't be one on Sunday.
But yeah. It'll probably end up being short and early if we do. But if Dynamite's boring, then it won't be.
Yeah.
I don't think Dynamite will be boring. But if Dynamite doesn't do anything that's like, I never saw that coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And guys, we see everything coming.
We're very,
very astute. Yeah.
I can't wait till our all-in episode where I expect that we're going to spend at least a half an hour discussing things that happened to us over the weekend.
Yeah, for
people
sure.
People we saw and various experiences. And then we're like, oh yeah, and we also saw wrestling.
Hopefully it will have been really exciting. I have no idea what that episode is going to look like with the amount of stuff that's being covered. But that's what's happening. The other thing about us going to All In is we think that there probably will be some kind of Social Suplex Network meetup.
Yeah, because a lot of us are going. ONR is going. Trish and Sarah are going.
Kiss is going.
And Floyd from All Things Elite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of us there. So we think there'll be some kind of meetup that you guys could come to if you wanted. It may end up, now that they've announced this official after party, it may just be there. But we don't have any details right now. So what we're going to tell you is that if you think that you might want to come to some kind of meetup of that type, it would probably be on the Saturday after the show. You should join the Social Suplex Network Discord, and any announcements that we have about that, we will put there.
Yeah. There's a channel called Meetups that if you keep track of that, that's where we'll be.
Yeah. And we'll probably tweet it or Blue Sky it, all that kind of stuff too. So.
That's true.
Probably.
That's true.
Keep your little eyes peeled.
Hey, watch the skies. You just never know what you might see up there.
And we've got our fits planned out, so look forward to that.
It's gonna be pretty exciting. You'll be able to tell the Tunnel Talk girls.
And what you'll see is they're gonna look best when they're all together. So
individually they might look kind of normal, kind of dull even, but I think together you're gonna
together.
See
when you see them something. Together, you're gonna say, no, what's happening? What's happening with those freaks? I think that makes it sound like we're wearing like a
three-part costume. I know, like we're in a horse's costume.
for the founding fathers.
Still on the table. There's still time to change it. And then Matt and Nick Jackson will leap onto our co-back.
We're walking around all in, like, we're the founding fathers horse. This isn't right. This isn't right.
No, I love it. I love it. Can we drop our current plan and do this instead?
Leah, you source the costume.
Person horse costume. Yeah, source the costume and then put it on the plane.
Put the third person. Two is a normal number of people for costume.
But we're better than that. And I think we have one in the middle.
I think that if you do a three person, maybe the one in the middle has to kind of be the rider coming out the top.
Oh, I like that, actually. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. So yeah. That's probably what we'll be dressed.
Probably what we'll be dressed as, yeah.
And we're going to have to duke it out amongst ourselves. Who among us is going to be maybe both Young Bucks?
Both Young Bucks. So the rider's a Young Buck, obviously.
It's both so it's Young Bucks, actually.
So
they're literally one person. So
being the middle person, it has some pros, which is like your head gets to be out of the costume. That's exciting. It has some cons. You're a Young Buck. You're both Young Bucks.
You're both Young Bucks.
So will we have like a second head coming off like Michael Scott in the Office Halloween?
It could be something like that. Or I'm sure there's other ways of doing it. You know, we'll just have to look and see. Others will have probably done this costume before. So we'll have to look and see what they did.
We get like a real doll.
A life size. Yeah, exactly. A life size doll that can ride in front or behind.
Yeah.
And that'll be Nick Jackson.
So if you want to meet us, just look for the three person horse.
And the blow-up doll.
And probably, you'll spot us probably right away. Yeah.
The horse will have some kind of like decorative ceremonial armor that says like Founding Fathers on it. So that's for you'll sure. be able to tell. Because there may be other horse costumes.
Sure. Yeah.
Somehow I think we're gonna get ourselves uninvited to the social suplex meetup.
James is like, I can't be seen like this.
The listeners are coming into the channel and politely being like, we would prefer it if the Tunnel Talk girls weren't present. No offense. No offense. And no offense.
Yeah. We hear that all the time anyway. It's like, this is a respectable network.
We are the with my by myself of the network, and we know that. Anyway, that's all our news. So if there will be some kind of meetup, we'll tweet about it or join the Discord and you'll see it there. Great.
Ali, you did a really good job with our business.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm nervous because of you saying that. I don't trust that.
I just thought you should get complimented. You don't like when we assign you business items. So I just thought I'd reinforce that you did a really good job.
And you didn't like have written out all the details or anything.
No, not any of them really. Not really any at all. So
off the cuff, you did it.
Thank you. I'm deciding to trust it.
I wish everyone could see the suspicious look she keeps giving me.
I feel like she's setting up, and I'm supposed to say what's making me happy next. So that's part of, I'm like, what's her game? What's
her game? It does feel like, do we not compliment you enough?
It doesn't feel familiar, and I'm scared. And I want to believe it, but I'm scared to believe it, okay?
You could be the Young Buck in the costume if you want, the Young Bucks.
Oh my God. I'm gonna cry. And only partly because I hit my mouth with that set of headphones. All right. It is my week to say what's making me happy, and Leah's gonna really like to hear this.
Mm.
And well, what I have to say is this is the hardest week I've ever had. Coming up with something that's been making me happy. Because I've been having a really bad time at work. I've been having a bad time at work, and it's just been, it's a rough time to be a person. And I kept thinking of little things that, you know, it's like, oh, I enjoyed that a little bit. Or I thought, I'm watching Hell Motel. I said, oh, because I could say that's making me happy. It's not really. It's just something to put on, you know. I don't even really recommend it as a show. But then I saw my friends Anna and Josh the other day, and I was talking to Anna, and she said, you know what I can't stop thinking about? I'm so mad. I'm so mad that AI, the movie, which we loved and are obsessed with now. So I'm so mad that it didn't make the New York Times top 100 movies of the 21st century. And in fact, no Steven Spielberg films did, or maybe only
really?
One.
Wow.
It was none or one. And she was like, and like six Christopher Nolan movies did.
He was Nolan heavy. Yeah.
I was staggered to hear that, first of all. So before I get to the happiness, let me just say, like, you guys listen to this podcast, you're like, they're so cheerful, they're so upbeat, they always have something fun to say. Of course, we pride ourselves on that. I'm a lover of fun, but I'm also in my heart a hater and a critic. I love to see something that I disagree with, and I light up from the inside, and I say, God, I'm so electrified to disagree with this. I went to look at the list of the top 100 movies, and I disagreed with so much of it. And I had so many criticisms of it. And Anne, I see you've looked at it too. Did you agree with it?
Yeah, I didn't look at the full list. I think I just saw like the top 25 or whatever, but I was extremely psyched because The Royal Tenenbaums is in there, which is very underrated, and it's like one of my favorite movies of all time, possibly my favorite movie. So I was like, thank God the best Wes Anderson movie is getting recognized as the high quality piece of work that it is. But I don't remember anything else that was on the list. And there was a lot of garbage on there now that I'm thinking about it. I was these are movies that I have no interest in watching.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's interesting because they asked a bunch of like industry people, so actors, directors, writers, etc. And one of the fun things is that you can go see a bunch of their top 10. So you can pick someone whose work you know, and you can go look at their top 10. That's really fun because some of them you're like, that's amazing. Of course, this person is a great artist and you can tell from the films. And sometimes you're just like, yeah, those were the films that person would pick. And some of them you are just like, it seems like Adam Cole snuck on here somehow and has a job writing films. That was Nicholas Sparks. I would say Nicholas Sparks. I was like, you don't go here. I know you've had a lot of films, but you repulsive. Don't go here. So that's one really fun. That's a fun, you know, if you're a lover, a hater, or a critic, that's fun. And then also you just go through it. You just go through the list. There's a bunch of films that I'm like, I haven't seen it. I'd love to watch it. And then also a ton where I was like, I'm sorry to the lovers out there, but for Martin Scorsese's Wolf of Wall Street to be number 20 on the top 100 films of the 21st century, get a life. you have some fucking nerve.
Some of these are real pretentious, like boy movies where I'm just like, ugh, sounds exhausting. I was shocked
that Boyhood is very high up there. And that's one of those ones where you're like, this is being rewarded for like the concept and for actually like, you know, doing the concept. And it is a good movie, like especially given the concept, but it's like, I don't know that it needs to be as high on this list as it is.
I feel like that's the thing about like industry people is that they know what's hard to do. And sometimes they reward those things, even if they are not like entertaining or interesting per se. It's like,
that's really true.
That show Adolescence, or like miniseries Adolescence, like every episode was in one shot, which is like hard to do. And then it got all these rave reviews, but I felt like at the end of the day, I found it a little bit hollow as a miniseries.
I'm scared to watch it. I just downloaded it. It sounds like a tremendous bummer.
It's a tremendous bummer for sure. For some reason, I watched all of it. I think at the end of the day, it's like the guy who wrote it plays like the dad of this kid. And once you've watched the whole thing, you're like, I feel like this is just a man being like, wow, it would be such a bummer if my kid did this and I would be devastated. And then it's about like the dad being devastated. And I'm like, I don't know if that's the most interesting thing about like teenage murderers, you know?
No. Yeah. I wonder, well, we shouldn't even get into it. That's very interesting. I'm sure I'll watch it at some point, but it's been hard to find stuff to watch recently. I mean, I feel like we're in it's a bit of a dearth at the moment, but you can always go to the New York Times top 100 films of the 21st century. There seem to be two lists. There's like one that I don't know what it's based on. I don't know if it's just the famous people, but there's also one that's like just the readers, because every readers could submit their top 10s. But they seem pretty similar, except the reader one is worse, actually. So I will say that they're both, I have criticisms of both of them, but the reader one is worse because don't yell at me, but I don't think that The Dark Knight should be in the top 10 films of the 21st century. And that's just an opinion that I hold. An opinion that I hold as a hater. So I'll say that.
I don't think men should be allowed to vote on some of these things, you know?
I'm always saying, just in general.
Allowed to vote. I know. I think they should revoke men's suffrage. I think it was a mistake.
Anyway, I agree. No, we're just kidding. We love when men vote, as long as they vote good. Just do everything good, you know? So that's what's making me happy / mad.
Well, you both gave me a gift this week, because to hear that Allie did not want to do this, and earlier this week Anne posted to our group chat and was like, do I have to do that this week?
I thought of two that I'm excited to talk about,
and I'm pretty psyched, and I don't even know which one I'm going to pick first. So
yes. Is one of them doing your printer, using your printer?
No, that's a third. That's three right there.
And to be clear, I didn't say that I didn't want to do it. I said that I struggled. And I think it's very brave of me, actually, to say we all struggle sometimes to find something that we can truly say, this is bringing me joy. But to search for it ended up enriching my day immensely. And I've never felt better, Leah. I've never felt better.
Producer Marjorie, can you pipe in some boosts?
I bet Producer Marjorie might pipe in some cheers.
I think there might be some cheers for that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, Marjorie. Yes.
All right. And then I think we just wanted to shout out last week. We went on a couple of tangents where we said we wish we could talk to our horny foremothers. We wish we could talk to the women who were into wrestling in the decades before us and who had opinions that perhaps their male counterparts didn't respect or understand. We wish we could hear them. And many of you actually reached out on various platforms just to tell us things that you heard about wrestling from your mothers and grandmothers, whether they were actively into it or not. And it delighted us. Well, I think we loved every single thing that any one of you said we were happy about.
Yeah. I particularly loved this story that I think it was on Blue Sky, and I'm going to look it up really quick, that someone wrote to us about their mother, actually, where they said, one day my mom told me, and this was Hinako says at Blue Sky. One day my mom told me there was a handsome wrestler named Fred Blassie. Lots of my girlfriends loved him. My dad responded, he was a scary wrestler who would bite his opponents' foreheads and make them bleed. No way he had any female fans. My mom laughed and said, you don't know anything about girls. That's so funny.
Well, still so pertinent.
I know. We're still having that conversation today.
Absolutely amazing stuff. I think one of you told us about, I don't remember who this person was in relation to you, but you were like, I know a female fan from the 70s or 80s who met her wife on a WWF fanzine of some sort. Yeah. It was like, that's incredible. What I like to hear. It's inspirational. Yeah. It's aspirational. It's the way we're meant to live.
Yeah. And I heard from our friend, our listener, Aaron, that Stephanie Plum has written a book with somebody who's into wrestling. So I have to look into that.
Well, it's approximately 25 to 30 books. And I will say, I love that email, because when I was in high school, I was obsessed with reading. It's the One for the Money series. And my mom also, my mom only reads, mystery series novels. And so I would steal them from her. And they're, not good, but at the same time, yes, they are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're bad, but they're so good to read. Like, you just, you eat the whole sleeve of cookies, you know?
I love that for my summer.
Yeah. And it's,
Beach read.
There's a lot going on in there. So you'll have fun. I can't wait for you to meet Ranger and Morelli, the male love interests that she's been stringing along for about 3 decades at this point. And I love that for her.
Wow.
So in conclusion, thank you very much for telling us about your horny foremothers. We really enjoyed it.
And please, anytime, if you didn't get a chance to tell us before, tell us in future. Anytime you have a story about a horny foremother, you let us know.
Yeah.
That's what we like. All right. Are you guys ready to talk about the horny present?
Yeah.
I don't know if you are. Hangman opened Dynamite again. Very exciting.
It's a little inconvenient, though, because I was in the middle of something and missed it. And then you guys were reacting so strongly that I was like, I'm not just going to jump in. I have to go back. So then I was behind for a while and it was really getting on my nerves. But
I want Tony to appreciate that, if he's opening with Hangman, because he's like, Hangman will draw the viewers in. It's like, please appreciate that he does, because it's hard for us. Like, I was hanging out. I was hanging out with a baby and my friends. And I'm like, I gotta go. I have to be on time for wrestling because I bet they're going to open with Hangman. And they did. And I was 2 minutes late and I was furious about it. And if I had thought that anyone other than Hangman was opening, I would have been 20 minutes late to wrestling. He is doing his job.
Yeah, it's working.
Yeah, it's working. So he opened with a promo on Mox in which he reiterated that Mox is allowed to do anything that he wants to Hangman's body when they fight. I think that's mostly what it was. It was just like, if you can think of it, you can do it. And in fact, I encourage you to do it if you can think of it. And try to think of some strange stuff.
Give it
try
to me,
think of some
said.
New stuff.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
It's not the first time they've done this, you know? So it's like you have to reach new exciting novelties to feel something this time.
Absolutely. He said, I don't just want your standard bag of tricks. I want stuff I've never heard of before, and I want to experience it for the first time in the ring live at All In Texas. And he said, I can withstand anything you can throw at me. Let's have a Texas death match. I've said here, Mox came out like a cat that just heard you use the can opener. That's how fast he prowled on out. He's trying not to look too excited.
It's the same energy as the cat where it's like, oh, I just happened to be walking in here at the same time as you were doing that.
But I'm weird. Did I hear something?
I'm walking at quite a clip, but just so casually.
Coincidentally at quite a clip, yeah. And I don't want anything, but I just need to be in here.
I just like knowing when you're using, I just heard you use the machine in here. Was that... sniffing around, like, was it anything interesting, having anything fun for dinner? Maybe a little tuna? Maybe a little can of tuna for dinner? Maybe? And so he cut a return promo on Hangman where he was like, well, okay, first of all, you're never able to withstand everything I can throw at you. You don't hold up to pressure. You never have. It's going to be the same this time. I don't know if at this point, at some point in here, he's like, so I won't have a Texas death match in you. Because a cat plays it cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. No, I couldn't.
Even like tuna. Of course, I don't want it.
I simply couldn't. Me?
I'm
no.
full. I just
never
choked
wanted
someone
that.
Last week. So he and Hangman get into some physicality, fisticuff, rolling around, hard and horny. We have a series of kind of comedy interferences from the Death Riders, which I appreciated. They were so funny. Marina slapped Hangman about 10 times, which I liked very much. Mm-hmm. Yuta lunged for Hangman's legs in the funniest way. It was right out of Toontown. He understands the assignment at this point. And he says, and I'm better suited to this than some of the other stuff that we've done. Mox ended up retreating as Yuta and Claudio are beating Hangman up. Claudio, absent for a few weeks, but comes back with the zest of life in him, is forcibly stripping Hangman's shirt off. Which you simply love to see. And Hangman ends up screaming, is that the best you've got? Send your little neutered lapdog Claudio after me, because, bitch, I'm still standing. The crowd goes wild, and he's shirtless and he's hairy. Claudio is mad. He's retreated at this point. He's really mad, and he wants to get back into it. But everyone's favorite cockbox, the ops, come on out. So they're holding Claudio off. Hangman has gotten a hold of Mox's briefcase, in which we presume the belt is. But we don't know. Nobody knows. And I like what commentary says.
Commentary
we don't know.
Does keep emphasizing that, where they're like, we think the belt's in there, but no one could say.
It's true that we haven't actually discussed it recently, but the idea that Hangman can only actually win the belt if Jay White re-debuts at all. Otherwise, he's going to open that briefcase and it's like nothing in there.
It like literally just occurred to me the second that like traveling with the belts is really annoying. So Mox probably isn't traveling with the belt, right? Which is kind of
okay.
Fun.
That's the funniest possible explanation for why it's been in the briefcase this whole time.
He's tired
of
getting searched.
I don't like carrying it. And then I'm sure it's like Tony Khan is like, we'll have a prop master. We'll just have a guy who's in charge of the belt. And Mox is like, it's my belt.
Yeah,
but I don't like traveling with it, so I'm bringing it to work.
It's just at home, like in a closet somewhere.
Nora Moxley is eating meals off it. She's using it as a plate. Okay, what's happening here?
Oh, Mox, yeah, headed home from the show this week. Like, I gotta have to bring it to Texas next week. So I gotta find it. So he's like, finally, he digs it out of like Nora's closet, and it's like coated in like toddler spit,
mold.
I want to see like a whole comedy sequence of him looking through underwear drawers, and he's in the attic rustling around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I want him. And I want him working hard to try and clean it himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Scrubbing it down in the dungeon. Being like, and Renee's like, yes. "What are you doing down there?" He's like, "Nothing. Nothing bad happened to the belt. Don't worry about it.
Everything's okay." Okay, so Hangman has the briefcase, and he's like, "It seems like I have something that you have something of yours. If you want it back, then you will have a Texas death match with me." I don't think he said if you want it back, and in some ways, I didn't think this made any sense because I was like, "I think that you know, human resources should interfere."
It would be funny if human resources' like main job was like, "Hangman, whose belt is that? Can we give it back to him, please?"
It's just, we've always said it. Just elementary school teachers, just preschool teachers. Yeah. Just like, what do we say about sharing? It's nice when someone shares with you, but just because they share something doesn't mean it's yours. And Hangman's just going, mine. That's what all the kids in Minneapolis are into right now. Mine.
Oh, that's nice.
Mine. And okay, so he says, "Yeah, I have to have my Texas death." Mox has no choice but to comply. Everyone's chanting cowboy shit. Hangman's like, "Hold up. Let me just be really clear about how serious I am about this. I'm really fucking serious." He buckshot lariats Marina. And that's literally feminism. And I was so excited I misspelled it. Feminism.
It was such a good moment because I actually didn't really see it coming. And when I realized he was buckshotting, I went, and then he actually did layer out. Oh, that was so good.
I like this little like creeping up to intergender where it's like, we're just going to have like some mixed tags and there might be a little shenanigans. And then like, we've done a little bit. We could do a little bit more. And then what if he on purpose full on buckshots are in front of everybody?
I kind of feel like this is the first year for us at AEW that we've made any real progress on intergender. Mm-hmm. Like where I'm like, the needle has moved. The needle has finally moved.
Yeah. You move that Overton window, you know, now what's under discussion, you know?
We're used to talking about it as a negative, but sometimes it's a positive.
Yeah.
That's nice. It's nice to have a positive sometimes. What do you guys want to say about you know, this whole segment, this whole angle?
I really liked it. I mean, I like that. Mox continues to needle Hangman by saying you're not strong enough and you don't have the will to become champion, because it is going to make it so fucking satisfying. Like, it's going to feel so good when Hangman does it, because it is just like, you know, overcoming Hangman's like little voice in the back of his head sort of stuff.
Yeah. I thought, again, like, Hangman's whole character just gives people, like, a lot to work with. And I thought the thing of being like, oh, yeah, you can win the Owen, because that's not, like, that serious. But when it's a world title, like, you can't handle it. That kind of stuff was really fun. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then in terms of presentation, why does Hangman always have his wallet and his phone on him in the ring? Doesn't seem comfortable.
And it has to stay available.
It's the fattest wallet known to man. Like, it's not a slim little guy. Like, what is he carrying in there?
But let me ask you guys this. What do you want in a men's world champion? Because I want someone who can pay for ice cream at a moment's notice and who can take your call no matter what's going on, whether he's in the ring or not. If you have an emergency, you can call and you can see a little phone beep, beep, beeping in his pocket. And he says, "I'm going to go to the corner for a minute because I have a little, I don't know. I think it's a locker room problem."
See, what I want in a men's world champion is a clean line, a good silhouette. I want to see that butt.
You want to see it? Well, you know what? I think maybe it's you may be right that sometimes there's a time and a place for everything. There's a time for the ice cream.
Yeah, sure. If we're out wallet. In the car and you're not going to get pile drivered on your phone, like, yeah, have your phone and wallet on you.
What if it's not? What if it's a fake phone and it carries out?
It's just a little cardboard box. He's like, "This is gonna be my fake phone. I'm gonna put my real phone in my locker."
It's important to my character, though, that I have that phone there for people like me.
Oh, who are worried that he might be out of touch when he has small children.
Yeah. I want to know that you could get him at a moment's notice.
So. Yeah. Otherwise, there'd be no way to reach him.
No. Like, what if I want to buy something with his credit card? I need to be able to call him.
Him having his wallet is more of a detriment.
Well, it's all online now, yeah. So I just call him and say, can I get that card? I haven't saved it. That's my fault. I understand that. I should have saved it, probably. So that's a note for me. Yeah, I thought this all worked really well. I think I had something that I was going to say, but I've completely lost it now. So how important could it have been?
I do also love when in a melee, they strip each other's clothes off. Super normal fight stuff.
Yeah. I like that Claudio understood that that was an urgent need. I'm identifying here, and I know I was away for a couple weeks, so maybe things have changed, but I'm not seeing any bear chests, so let's take care of that right away.
First things first.
And that's something that will really endear Claudio to me, if that's his MO.
I had one. Oh, I remembered what it was. I just had one funny comment. It's not really a criticism, but I was listening to the promo, which I liked Hangman's promo, which I liked very much. And I was like, Hangman's been yelling a lot recently, like more than usual. And then I said, I guess when you're going to become, from what I know about network execs, when you're going to become the men's world champion, you have to go boy mode hard. You have to go boy mode hard. They want to see that you're ripped, and they want to see you hollering and yelling in a manly fashion. That's okay.
Yeah. I appreciate that they haven't made Hangman get, like, you know, get on steroids or anything the way, you know.
Definitely. I don't think anyone should do that.
He looks normal good, but, like,
looks amazing.
You know, I think they made Swerve get, like, more bulky. I mean, Swerve never got scary, but, like, we saw him bulk up right before he got it. And then, of course, MJF scared the crap out of us with that body.
What MJF did was so ungodly that it put me off the concept of muscles forever.
But it's kind of, like, typical that MJF, like, with spray tan, too, he doesn't have any, like, moderation, you know? He doesn't have any, where, like, Hangman, the first time he was champ, like, he definitely saw, like, a body change, but it never got gross because Hangman understands.
Yeah. Because Hangman's literally better, so. Yeah. Are there any beats that you think the storyline really needs to hit before All In? I'm going to ask that a couple times tonight because we have one more show. I mean, I guess we have Collisions. Do we have two Collisions? I don't know. One more Dynamite.
Yeah, and two Collisions for us. Currently Thursday night.
Yeah, it's Thursday night. I don't think I need really anything else between Hangman and Mox, because I do like the setup of Mox, like, being doing the condescending kid thing to him. So I feel confident about that, but I don't really, like, I feel like one of the other people in the periphery of this storyline, whether it be the Bucks or Swerve or Ospreay, is going to get involved soon. And so I feel like if any of those happen, like, I don't know. Something else needs to happen.
Do you want it? Why don't we kick it? Let's do our Ospreay Swerve Bucks section, and then we'll do both at once. Okay. And we can talk about if we think what might intersect or what might need to intersect.
And this feud is super interesting for how the Hangman Mox angle of it is, like, the least interesting part too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fascinating.
Yeah. That's not where the emotional onus of the story is, for sure. Yeah. All right. Matt Jackson had purchased a special surprise for Nick Jackson for the 300th episode of Dynamite, and he purchased it on the company card. So he, like me, is always calling someone, being like, what's the card number? It's not a big deal, just doing a little shopping.
I love the idea of him calling Tony and being like, Tony, can I get the card really quick? Don't ask. No, you don't have to ask.
Tony is really busy. He's, like, trying to talk to someone else. He keeps being like, Matt, I don't think. And Matt's just like, it's just a little purchase. I just have to go to Walgreens, basically. It's nothing. Like, is this a professional operation or not? Like, do you want it to run smoothly or not? Just give me the card number. Just give me the card number, Tony. Tony's so harried. He's just like, whatever, fuck. just tell them in payroll, just give you anything you want. Can you imagine Matt Jackson's energy if he got to walk into a room and say, Tony said to give me anything I want? Payroll is like, well, that was his first fucking mistake.
All right, now we're in the dirt.
You you are running this into the ground. Well, he had bought a huge stretch limo with EVP Founding Fathers graphics all over it. And then when he said, there's more inside. And he opened it up and it was full of shoe boxes. He said something so funny too, where he was like, what did he say? He was like, look at the spree you've been on or something. Crazy.
He also was doing, sorry, but he had Nick's eyes, like he had Nick cover his eyes. And then when he finally said, okay, look, he was hopping around like a little kid who's like, mom, look what I got you.
It's like, I did a fucking amazing job. So. Literally like the best gift you're ever going to get. So Nick seemed happy. Yeah. And Matt said, I got a little idea. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. This shopping spree you went on. That's what Nick said. Yeah. I wrote it there. Okay. Matt said, I think we should go do some sightseeing at some of our favorite childhood spots because we're in Ontario, California. Let's go to old Rancho Cucamonga and just, you know, see the sights. So then we go on this little comedy field trip with the Young Bucks to their hometown and to the school that they went to that had a beaver climbing a pole or something going on there.
I think it was an elementary school.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What was the animal?
I don't know, but I just thought it was funny because it's like, if you were going to go check out, like if you were going to be like, this is the school that created me, like normally you go to high school, you know, like yeah, elementary school is so funny.
Actually, I took one of my friends to my elementary school once. Well, that was when I was at Catholic school, so it was pretty formative in some ways. Yeah, but you know, I could see that for sure. They did some, they went to a little playground. They did these very sweet synchronized flips off the swing set. I liked that very much. And then of course had what every segment of this type needs, a big old ad break right in the middle, a big old ad break right in the middle of the 3-minute segment.
It was so crazy because the segment was so short and they came back from the ad break and there was just like 15 more seconds or something. It was like, yeah. What are we doing?
It made no sense.
To me, I said, these are, of course, my special sons are great at holding the demo. I understand. It must be because they can hold the demo. It was deranged. It was totally deranged.
Tony Khan's like, everybody's going to wait through that commercial because they are going to want to see what this elementary school has to offer.
Okay, so that was very fun. Later in the show, the Bucks teamed up with Takeshita to fight Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bandido. Now, Kyle and Roddy usually seen with Adam Cole, not in attendance.
No, Papa gone.
You had no idea how prophetic it was. What a prophetic misreading it was.
I didn't know Papa was going to leave.
Papa gone.
Gone for real. When you said it, it became true. So I think you should be very careful what you say for the rest of the night.
And I'm pretty happy with how this one played out, though. So yeah. I'm cool, but
yeah, me too. I feel bad. I feel a little bad, you know. It's a rough time. We've
joined the internet consensus.
We've joined the internet. Well, I think it's very funny to be in a place where, you know, in some of our spaces today, in one of our spaces today, people were having a conversation about, like, you know, will Adam Cole resign, blah, blah, blah. And lots of people are being like, get him out of here. And I was having this response of being like, no. No.
If he's being paid reasonably, I think we can keep letting him do whatever he's doing on Collision. Yeah, I don't think he should be getting like major money, but I'm like,
no,
he can hold down the lower mid card. That's fine.
Someone has to be there.
Someone has to be there.
That's the thing people don't attend to all the time. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, you've got to fill up a lot of space so you can always have something unique if you need it. Yeah. So yeah. We could keep him in that position. Yeah, but I felt, you know, it's funny to be in a space where you're just like, don't be mean. Although
he does kind of deserve it, but yeah.
And Kyle and Roddy were really fun in this match, and Kyle's so pale. I mean, he is just the palest man who's ever lived with those big old juicy thighs. And I have a new conspiracy theory. I think that someone is pushing some new like thigh machine. I don't know what they're doing to build these things up, but right now the thighs at AEW right now are out of fucking control. They've never looked this good across the board.
I feel like I saw something on social media that was like. Like butt and thigh workouts are huge right now. And I was like,
that adds up. I was worried that you were going to say that they're getting injections or something, and I was going to have to roll it back and be like, okay, not, make them small again. Let's not.
I if love you're getting them by exercise, that's fine.
I love the idea that we might start a conspiracy theory that we're like, Kyle Riley has a BBL.
He got thigh implants, and you can tell.
I'm mentally picturing Kyle Riley responding to that. I feel like he'd look thrilled. Like, I can just see him lighting up like he used to at Mark Briscoe in The Conglomeration. Like, they said, what about me?
Do you remember the calf implant episode of True Life?
Yes!
Yes!
Oh my God!
That's the first time I learned that men have weird body issues around their calves.
Yeah, they really do.
But I think the thigh implant is a new area to explore.
Yeah, let's give them more body issues. Listen, we don't want any of you to have body issues. And what we want are all natural, organic bodies. Whatever your body it wants to do, that's what we want it to do. You know, so don't inject anything. But if there is some kind of like really good thigh workout going around, like keep doing it. But like, I don't know, post the recipes. You know, let us know what you're doing, boys.
Tony Khan bought a Thighmaster, and just backstage they're all like, this is incredible.
I'm so happy imagining every wrestler at AEW, not all of them, like some of them are just like, I'm too cool for this, but just there's just a line at all times. It's just like, I gotta get my 15 minutes.
They're like, people, Kyle, you can't sign up for every slot. It's for everybody.
You have to swap out. They're like tapping the second your time's up. It's like, get off that thing. It's my turn.
Work in, Kyle. Work in.
Thank you, Leah. That was the appropriate gym terminology.
Well, you all know, right. I'm a gym head, so.
I know that about you, and I always have. Okay, where are we? Oh, so we have this trios match, which I thought was extremely fun, unshockingly. Takeshita, is this the first time we've seen him as a Bucks middleman?
Yeah, I think so.
I believe so.
But he did a really nice job.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked
it. Thrilling for him.
I liked the way he looked there in the ring. I liked they all did the EVP / BTE trigger. I thought a larger than normal number of people were shouting BTE trigger, but maybe that's wrong.
I didn't notice, but that pleases me because I always want BTE to be honored.
I know. Yeah. I agree.
Hometown crowd, you know, that's BTE Central.
There. We don't want to forget our roots. That's the one thing about us. Pretty much. And then the Bucks did do a little, Matt did a little Jack Perry, like kind of, he did the little, I can see for miles and miles.
Yeah.
The jungle song, I'm in the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. It's called Tarzan Boy. Is that right?
You know, I'm laughing at you, but I can't think of
it. I have no idea.
And we do the hands.
Yeah, and then Jack would get up and he'd be looking around with his, and he said, oh, I'm looking so far because I'm trying to see if there's any predators out there that could get me.
And you were there. And you were there.
So that was Welcome to the Jungle, Tarzan Boy. And that was the reference. And I like that because I'm desperate to see him again.
I'm desperate to see him.
Yeah. Desperate to see my son again.
Please stop making knives.
It's crazy that he's gone. Like, why? For
what? Like 9-10 months. I mean, come on.
We're losing all our best guys. What's happening?
We need our little boys back. We need our originals.
I need Eddie back so badly.
Yeah. Eddie and Jungle Boy.
So bad.
And I forget. I mean, I forget everything. But I forget that Eddie's gone. And then every time I remember that he could be with us but isn't because of his injury, it's like getting punched in the gut. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard. All right. Okay, so they win with the EVP BTE trigger. And they weren't even doing post-match violence when they got surprise attacked by Swerve and Ospreay, who come out.
It was really rude. Like, I think that's heel behavior.
We don't all always agree on this podcast, listeners, so please keep that in mind. If one is being an apologist for bad behavior, please.
It wasn't even bad behavior. Their bad behavior
happened in the past, Leah. The Bucks' bad behavior has happened.
Well, I don't think we should live in the past. Let's live in the future.
The past, like last week? Like 7 days ago?
She's like, I don't know. The past is the past, Anne. There's 3 times. The past, the present, and the future.
Are you not over last week yet?
This is why
it's kind of weird to hold on to it.
She's literally channeling Matt Jackson's spirit right now.
Yeah, she loves Matt Jackson so much that he actually is happy through her body. Yeah.
It was, but it was belated retaliation for sure.
It's because called a receipt, Leah.
Dude,
thank you so much. I hadn't learned that word yet. Yeah. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. I was listening.
Point on the board.
Point on the board for sure. I was listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour earlier today, and Stephen Thompson was talking about something. I don't know. I don't even remember which episode this was, but I thought I was hearing pretty bad opinions. But he said, what did he say? He said, and then he kept having heel turn. He kept having heel turn or something where you were just like, it was very funny where I was like, that is the term, but I guess I wouldn't have known this in the past. Like, you're not using it right at all. You're not using it correctly. There's a right way to say it, Stephen.
You're having heel turn is so funny.
What made it sound like it was
adorable.
Like he was like having vapors or something. I was like, he's heel turning.
Yeah. It's like I was listening to a New York Times podcast today, and the culture writer said, and that it came up as a cuckold thing, that C-U-C-K-O-L-D, or cuck for short. I was like, wow, New York Times audience getting educated.
My goodness, what times we live in. The New York Times. All right. So they get surprise attacked. Swerve, and they get chased out of the ring. Matt is actually pointing at his nose like he just got a broken nose. It was very high school girl. Just like, how? Please, no. I need that. But he was like, how dare you? Swerve hops on the mic and is like, I have yet to hear an answer from you fuckers about whether or not you're going to put your EVP titles on the line. And I understand there were a lot of questions about what that means. So just to clarify, if we win, we would not become EVPs. Huge for the reason of what?
Huge disappointment.
Huge disappointment. Obviously. Yeah. He said for the reason of Will couldn't handle it. Will, that's not a good
certainly
situation.
True. Why it's disappointing that we won't get to see it.
And can one of you describe to me what was happening with Will Ospreay?
Swerve was like, we're not doing it because Will shouldn't have that power. And Will was shaking his head, like, energetically, like, absolutely not. No one should trust me. I would absolutely abuse it.
He went through the funniest series of faces where he's, like, pointing at himself, like, and the idea of me having it, pointing at the crowd, like, you guys know that can't be happening. He's shaking his head, like, so energetically. I said he looked like a dog you just put a french fry on top of its nose, like, to see if it could figure out what was going on. And he couldn't. Like, he was like, that could be something bad, but something also smells really good. So I'm pretty confused about what's happening.
His energy was so funny. Like, he was so hyped up. And then when he started talking and grabbed the mic, I was like, I can't, literally can't understand you right now. Like, between the accent and how fast you're talking.
He was so happy. His vibe was that, like, when they were in Gorilla waiting to go on, he was standing there talking a mile a minute, being like, Swerve, and then when we finish here, we should go for dinner. Do you want to go for dinner? There's like a bunch of restaurants, or we could go for a drink. We can invite other people. Do you want to invite other people? We could probably ahead and get.
Yeah, he like was in catering before the segment, like, and they had a big thing of Fun Dip, and he ate like 10 packets of it. You know, the stuff that's like blue and it's straight sugar.
Got all over his fingers, all over his tongue. Like, he came to Gorilla, like, luckily a little early, and Swerve was like, you're not going out like that with your tongue like that. He's the one who we did see with a blue tongue. Yep. Oh my God.
Yeah, known Fun Dip eater, yeah.
He can do no wrong with me right now. At one point, after he's finished shaking his head and the french fry's gone, he's like, that was a french fry. And he ate it. And then he's like, what are we talking about? He just did the most satisfied little blep. His little tongue just came out like, and I said, Will Ospreys only do that when they feel very comfortable. They feel really taken care of.
When he's with his very best friend in the whole world, like, yeah, he feels pretty good.
He's having the best day in the world. Every day.
It just goes on and on and on. It hasn't stopped being good yet. And there was a slightly dicey period to come here. So the EVPs are like, certainly we will not be putting our EVP powers on the table. Like, we book the matches and you don't. I hope you understand that. So you'd have to really tempt us. It was kind of like, if I were you, I'd be pretty scared of this trick. But I guess the thing is that if, you know, if Will Ospreay is on your team, like, what's going to happen? Like, he's going to fall for it. So just don't, don't worry once, as we say. Worry once. So they're kind of baiting them, being like, you'd have to put something really good on the table to get us to put our EVP.
Which I really liked, because I feel like we've seen stipulations where we're like, why would you agree to that? Mm. And so it was like really good to have Matt be like, what on earth makes you think that we would agree to something like that? What would we get out of it?
I agree. I thought that whether or not, when we'll discuss the stipulation in a moment, whether or not you like the stipulation, I thought that it made logical sense to have it, and did have the immediate effect of making me be like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm scared now. I'm scared. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
So Ospreay's like, give me the mic. I think he maybe already had done a little promo. I don't know. But he's like, I've got something we can put on the table.
They had such a funny like face exchange, because Swerve looks at him like, I don't trust you. Tell me what you're going to say first. Ospreay's like, no. I got it. You're going to love it.
And Swerve's like, trust me, brother.
Yeah, and Swerve's looking at him like, I absolutely do not trust you. And Ospreay's like, and here's what we're going to wager, young bucks.
I would give anything to see a little backstage segment of just like 10 wrestlers watching that on the monitor and being like, stop him, shut him up.
It's all of the wrestlers who Will Ospreay has tried to be friends with until now. It's like Kenny's
back there like,
don't do it.
You're gonna wish you had it. So, and Swerve's vibe was like, I know I'm gonna wish that I hadn't, but he has the mic, so
I'm not gonna attack him right now. But
so Ospreay is like, okay, you guys put your EVP titles on the table, and then if we lose, then we can't challenge for the men's world title for a year. And he looks really pleased with himself.
He looks so proud. He was like, I came up with this idea all by myself. No one even helped me.
He's like, Swerve is gonna love it. Swerve did not love it.
It was the furthest thing from fine, in the immortal words of Justin Bieber. And so then they're getting into it, kind of like, you know, Ospreay's being like, no, it's really good. Everyone loves it. It's perfect. And Swerve's being like, I didn't fucking agree to that. I don't want to put that on the line. I don't like that. And Ospreay's vibe is like, but if we're together, how could anything go wrong?
We're going to win. Swerve with the power of friendship.
He's like, let's perform Defying Gravity right now. Swerve's like, I don't know that song, and I don't want to talk about this with you anymore. The Bucks are like, yeah, for sure.
No, you have to say that Nick burst out laughing and pointing. He's pointing at them and goes, they're not on the same page. It was in this tone of like, this has never happened to me. I've always been the same person as my tag team partner. This is a joke. You stand up there together and you're not even telepathic.
I mean, his energy was that he'd never even seen it before. Energy was like, I've heard of this. They're on the same team, but they're not on the same. Matt, look at this.
Check it out. I can't believe I've seen it with my own eyes for the very first time.
That's crazy. Couldn't be me. Which is true. It's like, I mean, they have disagreed. You've seen a hint of disagreement between the Young Bucks before, but always in a way that's like one of them looking at the other like, we'll talk about this later. We'll talk about this when there aren't any cameras around.
Yeah, they've always like done like BTE sketches where as long as there's one other person in the room, then the other backs the play. And it's only when it's there alone that they're like, now what the fuck are you up to?
So that was great. So they're not on the same page. Matt's really enjoying that too. He's like, that's so true, Nick. They are not on the same page. And then he's like, what I'm seeing from you two, and this was kind of like, God, it's a broad art form. He goes, I'm seeing that you guys aren't on the same page. It's like, well, we're all seeing now at this point. Yeah, we understand they're not on the same page. That's coming through loud and clear. And he's like, but you're going to have to get on the same page. I actually thought this was quite fair of him. He was like, you're both going to have to agree. Ospreay doesn't speak for both of you. So I was like, That's really fair. They're just kings. They're not tyrants.
That's top executive vice president behavior.
And so Osprey's kind of like being like, come on, buddy, back my play. Come on. Like, it's going to work out great. And then they won't have those titles anymore. And I don't have to do any EVP stuff. And that's going to be really good because we know I can't do it. And we can challenge for the title as much as we want with our friend Hangman. And we go all play together. We'll have so many play dates. It's going to be amazing. And Swerve eventually is like, okay, we'll do it.
Through gritted teeth. He was like, you have a deal.
And that was obviously, and that was growth. That was growth. Yeah. You can see Swerve the character has, like, sometimes you lose sight of, like, how much the character has grown in ways that do make sense over the past, you know, 3 years or whatever. But you were like, Swerve of a year or 2 years ago, it would have just been like, I'm fucking out.
Yeah, he couldn't play well with anybody. No. And now but he actually is
it.
Working with
me. Yeah, I genuinely bought that he was like, okay, I will. And they wrestled so beautifully together. They had a match right after this versus Dralistico and the Beast Mortos. And I was just like, damn, they are a good tag team, which was clear in the match last week too. And, you know, in the past, but like, it was just like, you guys are really in sync. Like, you're good at this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you know, so it's like, it felt like he was being like, okay, I do think we have that magic, so I'm okay, but I'm not happy about it. So they have the match, and then afterwards they're kind of celebrating. Osprey's right back to me. He's like, best day of my life. It's all going amazing. Everyone loved my idea. I think I still have some more fun dip when I get back. Everyone's going to love hearing about this exciting time that we had in the ring with the Bucks. And Swerve, there's this moment, and I really was just like, this is so next level to me. This is really, really, really good. Where he's looking kind of mad the way he does a lot. I think that's the first level at which he processes a lot of emotions. And then for a second, it just falls away and he just looks kind of desperate. Like, you can just see him thinking, like, if this goes wrong, like, I'm going to feel like I have nothing. And there was like a little hint of like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do then. Right. Who knows what I could do under those circumstances? I thought it was really, really good face acting. Yeah. I was so happy.
Right. It was almost like fear a little bit. You know?
It was really great. You could read a lot of things into it. I mean, that's the good thing about it. It's like it felt like really psychologically realistic for his character. Yeah. So.
And who could have guessed that an Osprey Swerve team up would lead to some interesting little dynamics?
Mm-hmm.
They have won my heart. They have won my heart. I love watching them together.
I know. It's been so good. I mean, I've always liked Osprey, but it's like... Yeah. Yeah, this is working.
This is what he should be doing. This is great.
Yeah. And I go ahead.
I was just going to say, and the stipulation like throws so much uncertainty into the mix because like after last week, I was like, oh, okay, like the Young Bucks are done with the EVP gimmick, which makes sense because it's kind of run its course. So like they want to get rid of it. So like, great. And then with this one, it's like, but they could also want to lock Osprey and Swerve out from challenging for a year easily and have Osprey like win it next summer at Wembley or whatever. And then it's like, oh, I don't know what they're going
to
do.
It's incredibly plausible for Swerve and Osprey to go into the tag division because they could take it off the Hurt Syndicate.
Oh, God, and then they could have,
they can have a couple month run as tag champions and then their deal finally comes to an end. And then Osprey can go for the, like, that would totally make sense. So, So, all of a sudden, it went from, like, a pretty foregone conclusion to, ooh, what are they doing here? This is great.
Yeah. And I have to say, I don't feel that... I actually don't feel stressed about either. I mean, obviously, I don't feel stressed about the Bucks stipulation. I think, like, the Bucks will make anything work. But, like, for me, I'm like, yeah, I'd probably take the EVP. If you don't have a plan for something fun to do with it right now, it's fun to take it away and to just suddenly not have it anymore.
But I kind of felt like, can they both lose? Because I feel like maybe both stipulations this would be pretty fun.
Yeah. The thing is, sometimes, like, you know, it's like you need boundaries to tell better stories. Like, you need those pressures.
Some guardrails,
Exactly. But then I'm interested in, especially because it's like, if Swerve and Ospreay did get like if they were locked out of the men's world title and like ended up in the tag division or like, I don't know, anything that they did would be interesting character wise and would allow for a lot of growth. And I know I don't even think like Swerve doesn't, it's fun to watch characters grow. Swerve doesn't need to grow. Osprey still needs to grow a little.
Yes.
Osprey, absolutely. he's come a long way.
Yes. He has.
Osprey, I think, has it in him now, I think, to tell a like long story that has me panting for him to win at the end. And I sort of think that the next time Swerve wins it, I want him to win it for a reason, like as part of something that he's got going on. And so, like, I don't want him to be like a transitional champ or like, you know, an in-between something. So, like, I'm perfectly content with them being locked out for a year and, like, you know, using that time to build other parts of their personality. That'll fucking rule.
Especially because it does feel like Swerve will totally lose his mind if he's locked out, you know, and that like could take you in a lot of different directions. Yeah. That would be really fun. And he's so good at telling stories like already. I feel like that opens up a lot of doors. And then, for Osprey to have like a long chase, like desire period to really like work me up to wanting him to get it. Like,
And like that's just a period of forced, like, you know, it's like you're enduring hardships, you know? Yeah, it's like you gotta go on your little journey, bud. And I wanna see you feeling the hardships. And he's like, I'm gonna have the best day. The whole year's gonna be the best day, whatever happens, because at the end of the day, I'll be with my best friend. Swerve's like, I'm killing you. What I'm doing is murdering you. It's not illegal for me to fight you and kill you. And Osprey's like, that's what you wanna do. Sounds
we're
fun.
Both enduring hardships, and they're your fault because it was your idea. And Osprey's like, it was my idea. It was a great idea. I still think.
I wish I could watch them in some kind of space show. They get trapped in some kind of little like cubby ship together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, right. Like they're in the Martian, but both of them are stranded on Mars. Yeah.
I'm so happy. I'm trying to build.
Sort of being potatoes.
Like, all right, we have to figure out how to live. I'm doing a lot of complicated math. I'm trying to figure out how we can get oxygen. We got to get some nutrients in the soil. And so it's just like, we have so many different musics we can play. Let's play some music and then we can dance together. And you have that dance you do. And it's kind of fun. And it's like, there's no one else here. That's so crazy. So it's like, it's very dangerous. What's happening to us is extremely dangerous.
It's like, we have to be able to do the chemical thing to make water out of the air. And Osprey's like, we're the only people on this whole planet. No one can even see us. Should we get in our spacesuits and go dance outside?
Literally, he's like, should we just like get fucking naked and go outside? He's like, Swerve has to be like, you know this, you're an astronaut. You can't go outside on Mars naked.
Osprey is the one who comes up with that idea that he's a space pirate, like that happens at the end. And so Osprey, and he won't stop talking about it. And he's just like, we're maritime law.
If I hear one more thing about maritime law, I swear to God, I'm going to murder you.
The thing is that in this moment, I'm like, they kind of do. They are two men who perfectly make up the Martian. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
So this is actually a sci-fi premise where the guy from the Martian is on Mars and then he gets split through an alien process into two men.
Uh-huh. I love through an alien process. And it's like, he's just being like, if there are aliens here, like, please God, this is where it's like, if you are the alien who did this to me, you must have other powers. Or like, could you just show yourself and like, help me out? And the aliens are just like, this is TV. This is Love Island to us. Help you out. No, you're going to entertain us for the next 3 years.
They're like, we actually have many of these habitats set up with two people in each one. And we're just looking to see whose love is going to last. Like interact for us. Dance, monkeys.
Maybe you can't recombine until you like come to truly love and respect the other half of yourself.
Yeah. Wow. That's nice. Deep. It's about self-acceptance, really.
That's self-acceptance. It's a pretty deep story that these real Martians are telling.
Okay, on Martian TV, they don't tell shallow stories. They really get to the heart of things.
They get into it.
They're not afraid of long-term storytelling at all. They have all the time in the world.
They're like, these habitats, it could take 6 months to accept yourself. It could take 10 years. Like, find out.
Swerve literally just being like, it can't take 10 years because we'll die. We'll die. We can't make it 10
There's
years.
There's not enough potatoes.
There's not enough potatoes. Well, I can't remember exactly what happens that causes the potatoes to die, but I know it's Will Ospreay's fault in this universe.
In the real one, it was Will Ospreay's fault. Like the fabric got weakened and it just like blew out like the seam around the door. But yeah, Will Ospreay.
This one, it got weakened because
so
Will Ospreay kept like licking it or something. Yeah. He's like, it tastes really good. Well, so that could happen on AEW TV for the next year.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Oh my God. Yeah. I think it should. I think they should be in the tag division learning self-acceptance.
Yeah. But I think that we do need to consider that if this happened, there is one person who would be strongly affected by the idea of Ospreay not getting the title for a year.
And I think about him.
We all need to have some consideration for Big Man's feelings.
Yeah, in terms of people experiencing hardships, I think he would have it the hardest of all.
I would say if that happens, it's going to be all our traditional best to Dave Meltzer and his family. Poor Dave. He doesn't like, it's funny, like sometimes just reading, you know, what people have said about Dave's relationship with Ospreay, or it's like, this is what Dave was saying about Ospreay this week, and his energy as reported is always just like, get the belt on him, he could die at any moment, he could, literally he's shriveling up before your eyes, get the belt on him,
he may have already died, we may have missed the window.
He's losing steam, and it's so funny to watch that as someone who's like, I enjoyed Will Ospreay when he showed up, like, and I definitely recognized that he was an incredibly good wrestler and a hunk, I'd no interest in him as a person, and now admittedly, partially because of my own fantastic imagination and my ability to read clouds, I'm like, I love him. I'm obsessed with him. So I'm like, well, Dave, we're out here. People who are on the journey that presumably AEW wants you to be on, where you go from being like, he puts on great matches, to being like, I care about him, and I'm never going to tune out of his segments. Mm-hmm. I want to see what he's doing. I want to see him have a belt. I want to follow all the stories he does. Like, we are here, Dave. We are here. The people having the experience that they should be having based on how they've positioned him on the show. Mm-hmm. Does that help, Dave? I know he listens.
I'm kind of convinced now that Ospreay maybe is good at storytelling because of our powerful imaginations. He's not good at storytelling at all. But I'm like, I get so much pleasure out of his pause on the bed.
I'm like, he's doing perfect steps. Like, he, you know, like, to get on wrestling every day and tell us stories like that he's half of a person on Mars. Like, who is doing
him? Incredible invention from Will Ospreay, the split on Mars stuff.
I know. Yeah, that's all him. I think you got to get, at this point, well, it's like, you just never know. But I'm like, I got to give him some credit at this point, because it has been a sustained period where he seems to understand that, like, my character is paws on the bed. Like, he hasn't veered away from that.
No.
He keeps being like, paws on the bed. I mean, this week, it was like Swerve, like, woke up in the night and Ospreay was fully on the bed. And Swerve was like, you're literally not allowed to
get
bed.
Off the bed.
And he just went, he just like fully like dead weighted, was just like, I'm asleep, I can't hear you. I have a video of me trying to pull one of our old dogs off the bed once, and it was amazing how heavy she made herself. Like, I was just like, you have to get off this bed right now. And she just kept opening one eye and looking at me like, I don't know.
How could you remove a sleeping dog from this bed?
You're literally supposed to let them lie. Anyway, so I like this step. I at this point, there's enough people involved that I really, really trust. Like, I'm kind of like, totally. Sort of, you're driving your Martian storyline, I assume. Absolutely. So that, like, whatever happens, I think they'll do something interesting with it. And I think they probably have a good idea of, like, this is how we would, you know, some of the stuff that we would want to play out. So,
Remember that time that Swerve said, I know, to Hangman? I trust anything that man's willing to do for me.
You know, I can't wait to see what's going to happen. I guess the question that, you know, again, had been discussed in one of our spaces, and I didn't know, like, fully how I felt, was like, is there a beat that needs to happen with Hangman and Swerve before All In?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Do you have thoughts?
I don't know. I've told you before the pod that I was probably going to be working this out mid-sentence.
Yeah.
I think it's really great that Hangman came out to save Swerve while also not looking at him and not acknowledging him and not, and like, trying his best to make it not about Swerve. And I think, like, it needs to have one more beat like that before, like, maybe from Swerve, where he's like, gives up some kind of grudging signal before something big. But maybe you're making a face, so maybe that's wrong.
Well, I don't know. Maybe to the audience, I guess. I don't think that I wouldn't want Hangman to feel like there's any chance that Swerve could be the guy who has his back. I don't think. I mean, they could convince me of stuff, but like my feeling is a little bit like you don't want to preempt the like huge revelatory epiphanic moment by being like, I think that guy's going to have an epiphany. Like you, the epiphany is the epiphany. I would, what I would prefer, I think, I want Swerve to not know what he's going to do until he's in the position of suddenly being like, fuck, I can't do it. Like I'm not, I wish, I want to leave that guy to guy and to die. And I actually can't, I can't do it. Fuck me. And then he's just like helping. So I think, I don't know. I think, but I think you could have, you want to, you probably want to signal a certain amount of uncertainty to the audience or like that. It's like something that he's thinking about. I don't know. I don't feel, but I could be convinced anyway. You know, it's like, if it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I feel like I don't have a real strong feeling. It's like they could do something good in between and it does feel like it maybe needs just that little bit extra, but yeah, not too much at all. And you know, and also like, I don't for sure know what's going to happen.
No.
The next one's so fun. Yeah. The nice thing about Hangman Swerve is it's like when we got to the finale of the Interview with the Vampire, where it was like, what am I going to do? Try to plot the finale? No, they're going to show me a perfect finale.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I kind of feel that way where I'm sort of like, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could reason out what I would do, but realistically, I know I'm in great hands. So I'm kind of interested to see what they want to do.
Yeah. Honestly, in this moment, I just realized, like, I guess I really hope they do the Martian storyline because we're not getting more Interview with the Vampire until 2026.
Oh, so God. It's like, that's fucked
I need
up.
Something pretty sexy for wrestling for the rest of the year.
I'm so grateful that The Pit is doing, like, a comeback quickly kind of situation.
I know. Honestly, Interview with the Vampire is one of the few TV shows to come out in recent years where I'm like, I will permit. I'll allow you to have your time, and I think you're using it well, even though I wish it were faster. Most of these other shows, it's like, you don't fucking need it. Yeah. You do it's not like, need this time to make your slop.
Yeah, you took 2 years, and this is what you came back with? Yeah. Like, I feel like you didn't start until the night before it was due.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just
letting us ADHD kids run wild in Hollywood right now.
It's called prestige TV, and it doesn't have to be good.
One thing I'll say to my fellow ADHDers is: you actually need the tight deadline. Mm-hmm. Don't ever let them give you an extension. You're not going to use it well, okay? Just take the first deadline. Wait until you're right up against the wire, and do the work. Just do the work. That's all I can tell you. All right. Mina fought Mercedes on Dynamite with Tony on commentary. Tony had a fully set table, a steak, and a sheet cake, which I loved, a real classic combination. commentary was emphasizing that she looked really rattled for the first time in recent memory, which she did. You could see it on her face. And she was also, of course, at her beautifully set restaurant table. She was sitting at an office chair. So she kept clutching the arms of the office chair while Mina and Mercedes did sexy violence to each other. Mercedes won, and then she was beating Mina up. So Tony ran to Mina's rescue. Mercedes left the ring and then slid back into the ring and slammed Tony with the belt. Then Mercedes left the ring again, picked up the sheet cake. This is a fun moment of kind of the slight subversion of expectations. You expect someone to go into the cake. She picked it up. She just licked the top of it, looked really satisfied, put it down, threw a glass of water in Luther's face and left. I actually said, no notes. Amazing.
They've really been innovating in the sort of food space. Ring, which I love.
Yeah.
Love when everyone gets a little creative with what they're doing.
For sure. And I had a slight response, but I'm like, you're right. Don't waste that cake. People are going to want that backstage for sure.
And now it's yours because you licked it. So they're not
just that one part. Just that one part in the middle.
Oh, sure.
Will Ospreay's getting into that cake the second it gets backstage.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's sticking his face into the part she licked for sure.
Yeah, Will Ospreay doesn't care. Swerve is going to be like, Mercedes licked that. And Will Ospreay's going to be like, it's okay. It's fine.
We're all family here. Fluid bonding.
Kenny's like, it's okay. We'll cut around it and we'll give the licked part to Will Ospreay. And Will's like, yeah.
I have to tell you, Anne, that I hear in my head all the time your intonation. I think you've done it multiple times where you just go, me, Will Ospreay. And I just love to say that. It's me, Will Ospreay.
We'll give Will Ospreay.
Kenny's being like, we'll give that to Will. And me, Will Ospreay. He's like, me, Will Ospreay. Okay, so this was fun. This was a good match and kind of like a light, I would say a light angle at the end here. Are there any beats that you think that this match needs to hit before we get to All In?
Not really. It's like a pretty standard little feud. Like, I think they're doing like great Grace Note work with like the steak and the cake and all this stuff. But it's like, it's not like emotionally that deep. I mean, they're doing a good job, but
yeah.
Yeah, they're each doing little stuff about, like, I have a big personality that's built on confidence, and I'm going to show you that confidence is shaken a little bit. And that's it's not nothing. It's not everything, but it's not nothing.
Yeah, I think it's really good. But you're right. There's nothing that's like, we need to find this out about them, or like, there could be X, like, kind of zag. Like, it doesn't feel like there's going to be any kind of zag. Like, we know the emotional trajectory. It's just about, it's basically, it's like a game of confidence chicken. And it's like, which of you is going to be able to hold it through to the end of the match? Uh-huh. So I think it's going really well.
Yeah.
All right. MJF had his special second place casino gauntlet eliminator. Maybe. I don't know what it's called. His match, four-way match on Dynamite versus Anthony Bowens, AR Fox, and Brody King. This is for the second person in the casino gauntlet at All In. MVP and MJF were both in commentary at various points. MJF took some kind of like mid-match break to go sit with commentary. And they were talking the whole time about how it would be literally impossible for MJF not to win. And they wouldn't stop saying it. And they're hammering on it. And it was just like, okay, well, as someone who understands dramatic irony, like, I don't think he's gonna lose, but you're setting me up for him to lose. And then he won.
That's like so emblematic of everything that the Hurt Syndicate and MJF have done, where they're just like, what if we beat them up real bad and then we win? That's nothing.
It felt to me like they were trying to save the fact that it was fucking humiliating for MJF to be in this match to begin with. It felt to me that they were trying to be like, and he's going to win because he shouldn't, like, he's far above him. And I'm like, you're not better than this, MJ.
I know. Seriously.
You live here. You're down in the gutter with the rest of us.
It does feel, like, so satisfying that MJF's, like in the pay-per-view, the biggest pay-per-view of the year, he's in, like, the casino gauntlet match. And yet still I have to watch him for, like, 20 minutes every show. What are we doing?
Yeah. Really long segment.
We're going to put him down in the mid-card. Let's put him all the way down in the mid-card.
He should be posting his promos to Twitter like Brian Cage does.
Yeah, exactly. I would love it if MJF had to post his.
Literally, at this moment in my life, if you told me MJF and Brian Cage are going to switch spots and Brian Cage will get 20 minutes to do with what he will at 8 p.m. every single week, I would be like, yeah, absolutely. Cannot wait to see what O'Brien is cooking. Cannot wait to see what Mr. Cage cooks up for me.
I'm scared, but excited.
Yeah, I know. It would literally be so fun if they just started giving like some random mid-carder that 20 minutes, like every, like if it rotate every, so it's like, it's Brian Cage this week. Like it's Brody King next week, like Private Party, you got 20 minutes. What are you going to do with
show
it?
Show us what you got.
Yeah.
Show us what you got. Put on a real show for us. Mm-hmm. Not a talent show. That is a different thing, but this is more of a kind of a fun entertainment spectacular. Let's call it that.
Yeah.
So again, MJF does win. Mark Briscoe comes out in his new kosher penis t-shirt, of course, to call MJF out, I think for a talkie talk next week, but I'm not 100% confident. I think that's right. In ring segment, I'm going to assume.
Yeah. I was so distracted being irritated at his stupid t-shirt that I didn't hear that much of what he said.
I only know because I reread it for the schedule. I was distracted by the t-shirt. And then, as you guys also unfortunately know, I kept being like, Mark Briscoe's nipple looks kind of good. As I say it, it sounds like I'm starving in the desert and he's starting to like hallucinate that his nipple is a literal pepperoni or something. I just thought it was sensual in a way that I don't usually find Mark Briscoe.
Yeah, when you have a little nipple
under
like
the shirt,
the peek out, it's a nice look. Yeah,
it's a classic.
Even if it is Mark Briscoe,
even if it is,
I like to be teased a little.
Definitely like to be teased. Yeah. And, you know, it's his hair's been looking kind of fun. Like, I'm like, I don't know. And he's from Delaware and I'm from Delaware. So.
I like that the vibe is like, and I wouldn't have to like move if we got married.
Not even, it's like, I don't even live there. So it's more like, I wouldn't have to teach him about Delaware. Like, he gets it.
He gets it. It's like, you want someone who just gets what just it's like to be a Delaware. Delawarean? What do you guys call yourself? Delawarean,
yeah. But wow. He actually doesn't, because he's from Slower Lower. So it's a whole different situation. And
are you prepared? Are you prepared to be a stepmother to that many
nine
kids?
Nine children.
I think I'd be good at it, maybe. Yeah. Well, In some ways.
Allie, would you rather be with someone from Slower Lower or from someone for a whole different state? Like someone from like Fort Myers, Florida.
I guess it's pretty state by state, I would say, because Fort Myers, Florida, I guess I'm thinking like maybe let's stick to the devil we know in slower lower.
But I got an ad today on a podcast for Fort Myers, like a tourism ad for Fort Myers, Florida. That's why it's on my mind. But they were like, it's a slower, more authentic lifestyle in Fort Myers. I was like, huh, is it?
What does that mean?
Everyone is always trying to sell you a fucking bridge these days.
I know. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Also, while I'm watching Dynamite, pretty often I get tourism ads for Indiana, which is extremely funny.
And what are they paying for that with? You know what I mean? Like, it's like my impression of these state budgets.
Is that my tax dollars at work?
I don't think you should have any money for this. That's what I think. Delaware has changed its slogan. Like, kind of a lot in the past 20 years. Maybe I'm misremembering that. It's just come up repeatedly. And I'm always like, is this a good use of anyone's time? Come on. Like, look at
you
us.
You know, a committee met every week for 2 years to come
it
up with a new slogan.
It defines somebody's life, a period of somebody's life.
Someone was going home and they were saying to their spouse, you would not believe what Brian thinks a good slogan is.
I know. And then we landed on, it's like fucking Small Wonder or something, where it's like, that seems like a penis thing. Like, I don't know. All right. So then the Hurt Syndicate are also here. So then I've called them Normal Lovers. Kevin Knight and Speedball Mike Bailey came out to be like, Hurt Syndicate, we've challenged you before. We'll do it again. We're so mad at you. We hate you guys. And the Hurt Syndicate beat them up really bad. And they have their matching stomach corsets on because they were injured by the Hurt Syndicate last week, I believe. So they get beat up really bad. And then they stand up and they're like, we're still standing. Come get us. And the Hurt Syndicate are like, fuck, okay. So they come beat him up again and really bad. And then they stand up and they're really tenderly clutching each other. Like, they can't stand without each other. And they say, we won't back down. What song am I thinking of? It's like, we won't back down.
Oh, it's
the Tom Petty song. And I think the title is Won't back down.
Yeah, so they're kind of doing that. And MJF is like, what? You stay down, though. And then they got beat up again. And then Kevin Knight gets back on the mic and says, you'll have to learn how to kill us. And Bobby Lashley makes this face. I only saw this on rewatch. I won't give that man a Mommy's Little Ham Award, but I do think he wanted it. I do think that he was gunning for it, because he went through this series of faces that were just like, how dare you? And then Kevin Knight got a little too wrapped up in the spirit of the Hurt Syndicate and said, your mama must have taught you how to fight because you hit like a bitch. You should be so lucky as to have your mother teach you how to fight.
Yeah.
My mother taught me how to throw a punch when I was in second grade, but she didn't tell me that it hurt if you did it the right way. And then I went to school and I punched my friend in the stomach.
Wow. Your mom just taught you how to punch? That's cool. My mom never showed me how to punch.
You had to spiral your arm. I did get in trouble. Yeah, it wasn't a great day at school. But I didn't mean it.
Were you mad at your friend, or you were just trying it out?
No, it was like, my mom showed me something cool. My mom taught me something cool.
That's why you shouldn't teach a second grader anything.
I think you should maybe explain a little more what the consequences might be. On the other hand, I have ADHD now, so perhaps I did at the time, presumably, as well. So maybe she explained it and I didn't listen. Mm. Now, what did you guys think of all this?
Didn't like it.
Yeah. They're really just doing this, like, what if we just look tough and beat everybody up thing, and it just feels like such a waste.
Yeah.
It sucks. Every now and then, somebody will, like, predict, and I can't tell because I'm stupid, how like serious it is, but they're like, Jet Speed could win. And I'm like, surely they can't, right? But like,
I mean, they're trying really hard. I would be
happy. I would be happy if they did, but like,
yeah,
are they? They can't, can they?
I like, yeah, I'd love it if they did, but I can't imagine that Hurt Syndicate is going to lose to them.
It seems impossible, but also it's like, well, you're fighting quite a bit right now. So it's like, are they going to have, I was like, this can't be an all-in match, can it? And then I was like, I don't know, maybe the buy-in or something, but.
I mean, I feel like it is, because like, otherwise, what is Hurt Syndicate doing? And they have been setting stuff up. I'd love it if but nothing. It's just like garbage. Doesn't have to be anything. Of course. Of course, it doesn't have to be anything, but like with the amount of time they take from my life.
They do take a lot of time. The only good thing I can say for this, and I will say, Kevin Knight, again, let's not get so wrapped up in what other people are doing that we say things that I sincerely hope afterwards we think that wasn't what a good guy would say. Yeah. That was rude and misogynist.
Right. Yeah. Just because other people say misogynistic things doesn't mean you have to say them. If they jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff?
Remember that you're the good guy. You're the face. And so you don't say nasty things that make me hate you.
Yeah. Somewhere just off camera right now, Will Ospreay is saying, who's jumping off cliffs? Are we all going?
It would perhaps be dangerous for Will Ospreay to be in a segment with the Hurt Syndicate and MJF, as you say that.
I don't know what would happen.
Let's never find out.
Let's never find out. We don't have to do the bad things other people are doing.
No. We can think about how the fact that girls might be watching.
And they are. They are, and they always have been.
Yeah, this whole time, our foremothers were also watching.
Yeah. Citation, our horny foremothers. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, I do love whenever we see Kevin Knight and Jet Speed, and they just seem so, they are just normal lovers. They just have the most confident, calm love for each other. They support each other. I believe this week I looked at them and I said to myself, secure attachment kings. They literally don't have to. They don't have to go to couples therapy. They don't even have. They don't even have to go to singles therapy.
No,
they're fine.
Yeah,
they're communicating healthily just out of instinct, just pure instinct. They say what's on their mind.
Yeah,
and they listen to each other
from day one. They were saying, "Hey, I see you, and I see you."
Hey, they're saying, "Hey, you seem cool. I'd like to go on a date." And the other one said, "Okay, let's do that." And then they just had a nice conversation, and then they just started dating.
I know. And that's what every time they're in the ring, when they're supporting each other, the vibe is just like, hey, I value you. We're in this together. It's like, wow.
You're my partner, you know? We're a team.
There are people at this company who, it's like, if they heard that even once, they would lie down and cry themselves sick. They would barely be able to handle it. But look at you two. So comfortable. So I was like, if anyone else were doing this, I would turn the segment off. But because it's my secure attachment kings, I'll watch it.
Somehow they're very cute about it. So it's fine.
Yeah. I like them. Yeah. But be very careful. Be very careful. Okay. And then finally, Kenny Omega's longtime friend, Kota Ibushi, made him into Dynamite in a match.
That's right, everyone. Pride Month is over. And our longtime friends are back.
Made him into Dynamite in a match versus Kazuchika Okada, and I thought this was a really fun match. I had a great time.
Yeah.
I know, they were moving.
I had a little bit of stage mom anxiety where I was like, I thought he did pretty good with Greggy, but I'm like, this is, you know, people are going to be watching this because they've seen Ibushi and Okada fight before, and I really hope that Ibushi does well. I don't want anybody to be really mean to him. And then it was a good match, and I was like,
thank you. Well, I had listened to this week's ONR, and I was so charmed by the way that James was talking about Ibushi, like, maybe still being able to wrestle. And his vibe really was just like, if he can do it, and if he can do it, I think I'll dance all night, Rich. Like, I think it could be the best night of my life, Rich, was his vibe. And so I had partial stage one where I'm like, I need James to be happy. I want this to be good for James. So I was watching the whole thing. I'm like, I think this is good, but you never know. You know,
you never know.
Me, you never fucking know. But everyone seemed to agree that it was good. And it was really those, you know, the kicks were seeming really crisp and they were like really fighting each other, like hitting stuff. Ibushi's face. And you said something about it. Do you want to say it now?
I think there was just a moment where he like, he kind of been kicked down and he was just kind of lying there. And it was like, his face was so vacant, so completely vacant. It was like, there's never once been a thought in that head.
Well, he actually had a really huge thought about the 25 hour day. So please don't forget.
That innovation aside. Yeah.
Yeah. Very funny. But then Okada, I thought actually this was perhaps the most animated I've seen him.
He really came alive.
Certainly in a match, like, but well, maybe at all.
Maybe his amnesia is such that he remembers Ibushi. So he's just like, oh, thank God, a familiar face. We can
maybe
wrestle.
Maybe his body remembers, you know, people he's wrestled a bunch.
Yeah.
And you're right.
The body keeps the score. The head might be empty, but the body keeps the score.
There we go.
Empty brain, body busy keeping the score.
He's like, oh, this just feels so right. Like, suddenly I know exactly what to do and I feel so good.
I love the idea that he doesn't even know. It's like he isn't even sure, like, what are these emotions I'm feeling? But his face is making the face. You know, it's like, that's really good. Wow, I love that he's on his time travel journey. It's really changed him for me. I really hope that he's having a fun adventure.
Yeah.
So I thought this was really good. Okada won the match. And after a charmingly undignified pin, Ibushi just stayed butt up for so long.
A really long time.
And then Greg Trent Beretta did the same, like he got smashed down the same way, butt up, and he also stood there. I was like, I'm glad we're...
Is this an inside joke of some sort? Yeah.
And then Greg posted it to his Instagram story, too.
Yeah.
Maybe he was backstage watching the match on the monitor and was like, that's so fucking funny, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. That sounds right. I can see that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of imagining also, like, Dustin, I believe, was not there. I'm imagining Dustin texting being like, Greg, do that.
Butt up. Greg,
do the butt up. That's, Greg, you're a little comedy king. There.
And then afterwards, Greg tweeted, like, what happened?
I really have been liking him in this role.
Funny.
So the Don Callis family, Lance Archer and Rocky, are kicking Ibushi around like a football. Kenny's music hits. Kenny runs out. He is dressed in an outfit.
He was wearing a shirt for a GoFundMe that he later posted about.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. That's really
so
nice.
It was like a shirt for a reason. But like, I feel like wrestlers like often like cut it off or like, you know, cut off the arms or like do something fun with it. He didn't. But like, he was wearing jeans, which was really nice because I was like, they're not basketball shorts.
No, but I think Kenny does something and it's like, it's not a criticism. It was a totally fine outfit, but it's just funny where it's like, the shirt was totally fine to me. Kenny's always wearing jeans that have like a little something going on. Like they've got like some kind of like funky stitching or they've got like a lot of rips. And sometimes I'm just like, I think just a standard pair would be good and better.
These ones had like hobo patches on the back and they were really ripped in front. Yeah. I mean, I feel like they might be quite expensive, but
yeah. So that maybe it's just a personal preference thing. I'm like, we could just go to Goodwill, Kenny, and just get some normal
jeans.
Reduce, reuse, recycle. And then Kenny, they drove. Oh, they crashed Greg together. Whatever, they did the whole thing, and then Kenny kind of went to Ibushi and did a little check in. Like I think you saw him mouth like, "Are you okay?" And then pulled him into a hug. And I have this picture of Kenny that I've included here where all of a sudden I thought Kenny also unmoored in time, perhaps. Yeah. You know, kind of both unmoored in time. And that would, again, it's even more explained. The feud is even more explained once we get there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're just two little Quantum Leap guys stumbling through what they think a wrestling feud must look like.
Yeah. They're doing their best.
You must admit that in this little sequence of moments, Kenny really did look like, and I wonder what is happening here. I think we may be close, but I think they called him my very good friend.
Yeah, longtime friend. Okay, so hug's in order.
Hugs
sure.
Hugs gotta be right.
It's gotta be right.
Maybe his muscle memory was being like, kiss him on the mouth. And then he was like, I'm not sure that's the move.
He's like, it's too big a swing. Like, just hug safe regardless. So... when the cameras are off, we'll see.
Wow, you know, another hole easily filled. Go ahead, Lee.
Now that I'm looking at this screenshot, I think Kenny totally did cut the arms off this
t-shirt. Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
For some reason, I was like, he was out there in full sleeves, which was strange.
Wrestlers hate sleeves. That's the first thing you learn about them.
That's what I was familiar with, so I got scared, mm-hmm. but it turns out that he had no sleeves the whole time.
It just reminded me of there was a period of like 5 years where my mom kept really trying to get me into zip-up vests, like little puffer vests, because she was wearing them around the house a lot. And so she would give them to me. Like, she'd be like, I bought this for you at the L.L. Bean outlet. And I'd be like, okay. and she'd be like, the thing about that's so good about them is they keep your core warm, but your arms free. And she said it to me a lot of times. I'm just imagining all the wrestlers. Like, someone comes out in a normal t-shirt, they're like, one tip is just cut those arms off, because if you just have the body, it keeps your core warm, but your arms free.
So the arms free. Yeah. The funny thing for me is, like, because like my extremities get really cold, but also I'm sweaty. So to me, like, one of those vests is like a nightmare garment. It's like, I need the opposite. Yeah. I need like sleeves only. know? Let's leave the core free and the sleeves covered.
Sounds like a really great new look for you.
Yeah, it could be really cute. Yeah. I don't know why no one's innovated in the space, but.
Just lack get of into imagination. Like arm warmers and leg warmers, maybe this year. I think that'll be a good
maybe
look
it'd be
for you.
Cute, yeah.
They can be really cute, especially a little scrunchy 80s leg warmer type of deal.
I mean, come I on. Do like scrunchy 80s leg warmers, yeah.
Yeah, I know you do. I know. Listen, I never doubted that for a second.
Thank God, yeah.
Do you think we'll ever see Kenny and Ibushi talk to each
other? No, it's so crazy. Completely. Like, I don't want to be dramatic about it, but like, is Kenny allowed to talk? Is that?
I don't understand what is going on with Kenny at all, because it's like he's never at TV. He never talks except the Dookie promo. At which did he get punished for the Dookie promo? Was that the last time we heard him talk?
The idea that Tony could punish him for something that has stuck in our minds, and we're now it's at every other day we're saying they're shitting on the bed, they're shitting on the floor. They want to stop shitting on the floor. Okay, well, here's a counterpoint for Kenny and Ibushi. I believe Alison Krauss once said, you say it best when you say nothing at all about true love. So perhaps it's better if we never see them speak to each other. Is that anything?
If we were watching them kiss all the time, I would be more amenable to that.
I guess she didn't include that in the song. Like, you say it best when you say nothing at all because we're Frenching. Because you can't talk because we're actively French.
Because my tongue is in your mouth, yeah.
Well, I solved it. Anything that you want from our two time travelers lost in space and time next week before All In?
No,
I give up. Like, yeah. what is their time to do at this point? Like,
right. I assume it's going to be a great match. Yeah. I don't really care who wins, and like, I'm not really super invested in it. But I assume I'm going to have a good time watching it. So I guess that's the best.
That's all they can give me. Yeah. That's all they're capable of.
We'll have a good time watching it. And I like, as a podcast, I feel like it's kind of our natural progression with something that isn't getting through to us. Eventually, we just shove them to the side and we say, we'll tell a story with finger puppets. So don't just, you stay over there.
Yeah.
And we've got these socks on our hands, then we'll do a thing. So it's like, we'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
I hope they figure out where they're from and who they are, you know?
Yeah.
I hope, wish them well in their quest to set right what once went wrong. So.
I hope one of them takes the big swing of doing a kiss, but on someone they shouldn't kiss. And then the other person looks like, what
the fun.
Fuck is happening? They're like,
aren't you Ibushi's longtime friend?
Jesus.
Oh, man. Got it wrong again.
Oh, it's really hard.
Yeah. Can I say also about Kenny's Superman promos?
Oh,
one thing I enjoyed about the Superman promos is that I think the actors seemed quite tall and they were fairly willowy. So then the wrestlers next to them looked like deformed muscle men, like even Kenny. Like, they looked so barrel chested, like, and huge. And like, Kenny was wearing, I don't know if the clothes fit him right or not, but it looked odd.
Yeah.
And maybe it was just the contrast in body types.
No. He did. Do you remember many, I think this was in the first four episodes of the podcast, maybe, we were talking about Brian Cage. And I was like, Brian Cage looks like he should be a man who becomes, he combines with 20 other men to become a man. You know what I'm saying? That, and then I think eventually we realized that I was thinking of the thummies from Spy Kids, and the bodies are just thumbs. Every single limb is a thumb. That is what Kenny looked like in those super movies.
Yeah, that's right.
They looked like normal, willowy actors, and he looked like thummy, and he looked happy to be thummy, and he looked so happy that he got to live in the thummy palace under the jackbooted tyranny of Alan Cummings.
It's like, look, you wouldn't even believe I'm all made of thumbs. Like, we made an approximate shape of a human body. It's a little square, sure, but
and that's how we like him. That's exactly how we like him. Oh my god, his eyes, his eyes.
The screenshot is real, like,
yeah,
unholy.
It's so like, okay, was there anything you wanted to talk about that you did not get a chance to talk about?
I'm excited to see you girls coming up.
I know. I can't believe it's just like 8 days. We'll be there.
I know. I'm very excited to see you, and I'll be really thrilled when we're there. And also the other day I was like, they can't make me get on a plane next week. This is crazy.
It is wild.
I am getting really, really excited for it. And I'm glad we didn't sell those tickets.
I know. Yeah. In the nadir of this year, I'm really glad.
Yeah.
We've been through the desert, girls, but surely the oasis lies ahead, and it's Mark Briscoe's nipple.
That nip's going to take us home.
On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, Blue Sky, and Tunnel Talk. Via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have a souvenir stand. You can find it at chop-tees.com. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. And I will remind you again, all of those social media platforms and the Discord are all good places if you think that you might want to come to some kind of Social Suplex Network meetup at All In. Those are the places that you should look for information about such an event occurring. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, even in Dallas, Texas. And as always, please come back next week. Not next week. 2 weeks. Come back 2 weeks from now. The end.
Make sure you include that. Make sure you include that.
Oh, it's staying in. Yeah. It's staying in.